Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 913, where I simply read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck, editors, or the Matthew Henry Commentary, done by none other than Dr. Matthew Henry, who taught everybody to make a beeline to Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. Beloved, this podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. My beloved, the aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense or the understanding or the comprehension or help with comprehension of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived, or that individuals in the church would be revived, and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come, and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who preached the gospel first and best, and who said the most important words in the history of the world to mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friend, if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, do so today. For God so loved the world, that means that he loves you. You say, I'm a murderer. God still loves you. He's big enough to forgive you. People may not forgive you, but God will. If you come to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. No man had sex with his mother Mary before he was born. He was born of God. He is virgin born. Only God could think of something like that. And so therefore he was sinless. Jesus Christ never sinned, even though he was tempted as we are, the Bible says. Tempted hard by the devil, but he never yielded. He just quoted the Word of God. He never sinned in word, thought, or deed. He lived an excellent life, a perfect life. He is the God-man, all God and all man. And then he voluntarily, on his own, because of the love of God and the love in his heart for us, he suffered, he bled, and he died to pay for our sins, because he was sinless. He is sinless. He died on the cross a cruel death. He went through hell and went to hell for us. our sins. He is our substitute. He took our place. He is the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world through his crucifixion, through his precious and holy and pure blood being shed. I'm sure it didn't look like our blood. It was just so pure. I don't know. I'm just saying. It was not dirty like our blood that has been passed down to us from our forefathers and foremothers, causing us to have not only sins, but a sinful nature that keeps on producing sins. We are a sin factory. And Jesus Christ died for our sins as the Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world. And like the serpent in the wilderness, all we have to do is look to him. All we have to do is believe in him to be saved. By the grace of God, by the goodness of God, by the love of God. And when Jesus Christ said these most important words in the history of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He was such a great preacher. He was so succinct, so powerful, that he gave in that sermon the history of the gospel. What is the history of the gospel? God. God. God, his Father. God looked down on this sin-cursed earth and said, I still love my creation. So, Son, wrap yourself in flesh and you be the Lamb of God. For the Jews and the Gentiles, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in my sight, son. I love them. Now that's some love for you. Now that's some love for you. You have never seen love like this. I heard about a preacher the other day who said he loved his wife so much he just couldn't do without her. But he did say, second to Jesus, I don't love anybody more. Why did he say that? Because there's no love like the love of God. I told you how I heard the song, The Love of God, down in a Jamaican church. The beautiful Marcia, who I dated, I was a single man at the time, was singing The Love of God. I wish I could sing it. I wish she was here to sing it. No, I don't. She might be a temptation, as she was down there. But she made me forget her for a few minutes as she sung that song so beautifully in that church. I had never heard that song before. The love of God. It impacted my life so much because the writer just went deep and said, if I had a pen and the oceans of the world provided the ink, I could not describe, I could not even begin to tell you how much God loves us. I said, wow, that blew me away. That this songwriter said he couldn't even describe the love of God if he had the oceans of the world and put in a pen. This is love for you. Pardon me. And this is the history of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus Christ is the one giving this most powerful passage of Holy Scripture. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. You're no less or no better than anybody else. You might be rich. You might be poor. You might be educated. You might be uneducated and can't even read. Just know that God loves you so much that he gave up his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. That whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Whosoever goes to church, no. Whosoever sings in the choir, no. Whosoever gives $1 million to the church, no. Whosoever shouts and jumps and runs around the church, no. Whosoever speaks in tongues, no. Whosoever gets baptized, no, none of that. Jesus Christ said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means you will not go to hell. What a gift. And salvation is a gift. You don't have to work for it. Whosoever works, no. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Here's what Jesus' death, my dear friend, does for you. It saves you from the power of sin and from the pain of sin and the punishment of sin in hell. Jesus Christ was a hell, fire, and brimstone preacher. He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And here's what he said about hell. He preached more on hell than the preachers who have preached for the last 100 years combined, I do believe. It is so sad. Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. What is maimed? Your hand cut off. To go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. This was preached by the loving Jesus, who fed thousands with just a few fish and loaves of bread. The same Jesus who healed the blind, the deaf, and the dumb. The same Jesus who walked on the water like we walk on carpet. The same Jesus who went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth, after being dead for several days. He is the God-man. The same Jesus who caught in a storm one night said, peace be still. Basically telling the wind to be quiet and the seas to sit down. And they obeyed him. The disciples said, what manner of man is this? He's the God-man. He's the perfect man. He's the second Adam who has never sinned. Believe in him so that you can be saved from hell in the lake of fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. In other words, if your foot causes you to sin, to go somewhere you have no business going, like to the NCO club, like to a so-called gay party, or to a heterosexual party, jam, jam, boogie, boogie, letting the good times roll, or to go over to somebody's house that's not your wife or husband in the black and dark night, the creeping crowd. Your foot is always trying to go in that direction. Jesus is saying to you, it is better for you to enter halt. What? Halt means what? With your foot cut off. Halt. Into life. Than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. And Jesus explains what hell is like. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Can't control your eyes from looking at those fat women. Can't control your eyes. Not only men are that way, women are that way too. At looking at those built men, lusting your eyeballs out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with no eye, with one eye, rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Your eyes lead you to look at pornography. Looking at wickedness. Yeah, like you can't control yourself lying. Even some Christians, so-called Christians, lying, saying they're addicted. They're not. They can't control you. You're a liar. You just want to look at evil. Because you're not having sex with your wife or your husband, you want to look at it. Lusting your eyeballs out. Jesus said it's better to pluck your eyeballs out, your eyeball out, than to look at pornography. And the message is, if you can get one eye out, then maybe you would have enough sense not to look at the wickedness with the other eye. Now you're really in bad shape if you pluck one eye out and you still want to look at pornography. You still want to lust your eyeballs out after that fine woman or after that man. You lust for women. Yeah, there are just as many women now on looking at pornography. You lie, your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. You liar. Just as many women are looking at pornography today with evil eyes. And Jesus is not playing. He would rather for you to pluck your eye out than for that to lead you to continue in sin and rejection of him as Savior. Because as long as you love sin and you want to commit sin, you don't want to love Jesus. You don't want to get saved by him. And to get your soul saved from hell. Why? Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The point is, dear friends, you're going to pay for your sins yourself in hell if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. I would encourage you, understanding that you don't know when you're going to die, but it is appointed. There's an appointment. You have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Okay? And God told me to tell you. And I don't say that lightly, because I don't be saying things that God did not tell me to do. I do not take God's name in vain. I do not tell a lie on God. I don't do stuff like that. There's some things I might do, but that right there, I don't mess with God like that. I will never tell you God told me to tell you something if he didn't tell me to tell you something. I guarantee you that, because I don't mess with God like that. Some of you people may do that. I don't. I fear God. But I say with all of the confidence in the world, God told me to tell you that if God will allow you to die, and I've never heard anybody else to say this before, if God will allow you to die and cease to exist from this earth, and yes, I know that it's a sin-cursed earth, but there's a lot of wonderful pleasures in it. The other day, my children and I, we had a Sprite. I haven't had a Sprite in probably 20 years. I enjoy that Sprite. There's some things that we can enjoy in this life, man. And all of its pleasures, we're going, if God will allow you to die and cease to exist from this earth with all of its pleasures, God will allow you to go to hell. You can believe that. I mean, you can believe that for real. You may think God and Jesus are playing, but they're not. This is why they emphasize that you make sure you read God's word and you hear God's word, because you're going to see it again. So you can play if you want to. God's not playing about sin. You can believe that. And some of you are saying, right, yeah, preacher, let me go and get my life together first, and then I'll believe in Jesus Christ and so forth. No. That's the devil telling you that. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you to wait. I'm telling you better get this done right now. You better get your eternal life insurance paid for in full by the blood of Jesus Christ right now. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. See, that's the devil telling you that to wait. You know why? Because you love darkness more than you love light. You want to sin some more. And so he's telling you a lie, how that you ought to go and get yourself together. Listen, you're going to be dead and in hell trying to get yourself together. What Jesus wants to do is for you to get saved and then let him get you together. He's the only one who can put Humpty Dumpty back together again for real. He's the only one. Ilyana Van Zant, she can't fix your life, but Jesus can. You hear me? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Hell is bad news. I have to preach that to you so that you can understand and appreciate the good news, which I've already shared with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So right now, dear friend, if you want to be saved from a miserable life of sin, the pain of sin, and you want to be saved from the eternal, I said eternal, punishment of sin in hell, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. Look and live. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So believe in the one and only, the greatest man of all time who walked on this earth. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world, including yours and mine. Follow me in prayer as we call upon his name and pray and ask him to save us and change our lives. And if you believe in him, he will save you and he will change your life. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, only if you're sincere. You don't have to pray it. God won't make you get saved, and I can't. It's up to you. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner. I have broken your Ten Commandments, and no doubt more. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your might and power, the Savior of the world. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from hell today, the hell that I deserve. And please save my soul to the heaven that I don't deserve. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. And help me to turn from my evil lifestyle and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus Christ. For I pray it in your holy name. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. At this time, my beloved, we're going to resume our Standing Between the Living and the Dead / Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying service at the point of the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Today, beloved, we're reading Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. My, my, my. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the gospel. I praise you and thank you for giving me the ability, the strength, the unction, the anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to continue to preach your holy gospel in such a powerful way. I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you that people can hear it live and on demand, And Lord, we pray that you would open blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and save those who are lost, who will hear it later, and revive and encourage your saints to be a witness for you in these times of great trouble. And Lord, now we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, as you by the power of your Holy Spirit teach us your holy word. And we pray that you'll grant us your energy, your strength, your might, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to comprehend your holy word, to understand it, to remember it, to hide it in our hearts, to meditate on it, to live by it, to apply it to our lives, and to share it in a loving discipleship way, and to always preach and proclaim your holy gospel from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing before prayer, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding of it. Here is help with the comprehension of it from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. That day refers to the future day of the Lord. The phrase "on that day" occurs 16 times in these three closing chapters. On the day of Christ's crucifixion, the fountain was opened potentially for all Israel and the whole world. Glory be to God. At the second advent, the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That's the blood we're talking about. That's the fountain we're talking about. That when you are immersed under that blood, you will lose all your guilty stains. The fountain will be open experientially for the Jewish nation. The spiritual cleansing of the nation is associated in other passages of Holy Scripture with Israel's spiritual regeneration and the inauguration of the new covenant. Now this is deep, so you got to put your thinking caps on, and some of you may have to get this by freight. The House of David, political leaders, you two switching the back, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem include all the people of the land who need cleansing. Wow, that's deep. I feel like saying that all over again. The terms sin and impurity can refer specifically to idolatry, but they probably have a broader reference here to the total sinful condition of the people. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for taking us further in understanding and comprehending your holy word. Thank you for showing us what this day means, that day means. And Lord, help us to remember it. Help us to revisit this, because this is deeper than some of us can go right now. Help us to meditate on your word. Help us to remember your holy word. For if we don't remember it, we can't meditate on it. And help everybody under the sound of my voice to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who provided the fountain of blood that was shed for our sins and our uncleanness. And help, Lord, if they have not done so, help them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved today. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen.